Hey there, it's Dr. Heidi. You're listening to It's Not Normal, It's Toxic, a podcast geared towards the things you may be misunderstanding about the difficult relationships in your life. I did not understand it when I was in it, but I definitely understand it now, and I want to share that understanding with you so that you too can find the courage you didn't know you had to make the changes you didn't think you could make. Today on It's Not Normal, It's Toxic, I'd like to welcome Dr. Debbie Silber. She is the founder of the PBT, Post-Betrayal Transformation Institute, and is a holistic psychologist, a health mindset, and personal development expert. The author of Trusted Again, and is a two-time number one international best-selling author of The Unshakable Woman and From Hardened to Healed. Her podcast, From Betrayal to Breakthrough, is ranked very high globally among podcasts. If you have been betrayed, and when I say betrayed, I was surprised to find out how many different things fall into this category. I know the ones that really stand out in your mind are the big ones. But when we were talking about the different types of betrayal, I was really surprised that it was a word that I've never really associated with my life. I think, you know, we're attracted to certain words and not attracted to other words. And I had the same feeling when I started researching shame. So when we started talking about betrayal, my eyes were really open about a lot of things. So if you have been betrayed in your life, stay tuned, because today we are talking with Dr. Debbie Silber about that very thing.
So thank you so much for being here. It's been kind of long time coming for you to be on It's Not Normal, It's Toxic. So I'm excited to have you here. Where are you located again? Somewhere sunny, if I remember.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I go back and forth between East Coast, West Coast every 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, you do. So you get the full
bi-coastal.
So I have followed you for a long time. I had followed and found you before we ever got introduced into being on podcasts. And I hate to say this out loud, but I'm going to say it out loud. I don't hate to say it to you out loud. I hate to give the wrong impression. You know how much email we get during the week? And mm-hmm. You go, oh, delete, 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 delete. I delete a lot of emails. And whenever I get to the one that comes from you, if I'm doing too speedy and I accidentally delete it, I go into my trash and I recover it. I read every
email
that you send, because you do have to have an impression. You had to have made an impression for people to go, oh, here's the email. So I wanted to tell you that I think that's a huge compliment, knowing how many emails we get.
That really is. Thank you.
During the week. So you have done a lot of everything in your career. And I was wondering how you kind of picked and settled on betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And I know that's not only thing you do, but.
Yeah, I've been in business over 30 years, 32 years, health, mindset, personal development. You know, I don't think anybody says, you know, I think I want to study betrayal. No. You study it because you have to. So I had a really painful betrayal from my family. Thought I did everything I needed to do to heal from that. And it happened a few years later. This time it was my husband. That was the deal breaker. Got him out of the house, looked at the two experiences thinking, well, what's similar to these two? Of course me, but what else? And I realized that I never took my needs seriously. You know, I was always last on my list. Boundaries were never in place. And I took a hard look and I realized, you know, nothing changes if nothing changes. So here I was, 4 kids, 6 dogs, a thriving business. And I decided to enroll in a PhD program. Not what many people may choose coming out of a betrayal, but I don't know, for some reason, that's what I felt like I needed to do, because like a book wasn't going to get me out of this mess. You know, I needed something deeper. And then it was time to do a study. So I study betrayal, what holds us back, what helps us heal, and what happens to us physically, mentally, and emotionally when the people closest to us lie, cheat, and deceive. That study led to 3 groundbreaking discoveries, which changed my health, my family, my work, my life.
I love that. And you know what? probably deep down, I did know somewhere in the back of this, you went through it. That's why you're so good at it. So I was curious about this too. And I just about Googled it before we got on. And then I thought, I'm just going to let her tell me, what is the definition of betrayal?
You know, I define it as the breaking of a spoken or unspoken rule, and every relationship has them. And the way it works is the more we trust and the more we depend on that person, the deeper the betrayal. So for example, a child who's totally dependent on their parent and the parent does something awful, that's going to have a different impact than, let's say, your best friend sharing your secret, your coworker taking credit for your idea. Still betrayals, different level of cleanup left in wake.
Mm-hmm. So since you kind of started on that, the people who listen to this, to It's Not Normal, It's Toxic, we all have something in common. And it sounds like you were at one time in that place. Mm-hmm. What are all the different kinds of betrayal? Because we kind of get your mind stuck in this rut when you're going through this one chapter and we hesitate to look at everything else around us. So if you were just going to list the different kinds of betrayals, because I'm curious, because I'm doing a lot of self-discovery, where do we look to inventory or evaluate just to make sure in the betrayal category?
Yeah. And it's really, it could be, I mean, there are so many examples. It could be someone in a position of authority. And the understanding was, I listen to you, you take care of me. And then they do something awful, right? It could be, a relational betrayal, infidelity. It could be financial betrayal. It could be the siblings saying, hey, you know, we'll be there for mom and dad one day when the time comes. And then the time comes, you know, where are they? It could be your best friend breaking a promise. It could be self-betrayal too. You know that person or that thing is not good for you and you keep going back for more. You know, it could be, you could feel betrayed by God if you're, you know, religious or spiritual or whatever. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do and then I get that disease or I had that thing happen to me. So there are so many ways we can feel betrayed. I mean, the good news is there's a predictable, proven way to move through all of it. And I'm happy to share any of that and all of it, whatever would work.
So when people reach out to you, do they attach betrayal with the problem they want solved?
You know, it's funny, not necessarily. Like a lot of people, we have really two demographics. Well, actually three, because we work with the betrayers too. They have their own community, but we work with them as well. But for the betrayed, it's people who are like obviously betrayed and they know it. And then, you know, they may hear the word betrayal and it feels like a gut punch. And they're like, oh my gosh, that's what it is. Or this is really interesting too. We have another group and these are people who are stuck. They're struggling with their health, their work, their relationships. They can't imagine it's from a betrayal that happened years, if not decades ago, because of the time. Or they could be in a new relationship. So they're like, it can't be from that. And they're stuck and they're just surviving, but that's it. Those people, those are actually some of the best people when they realize that it's because of an unhealed betrayal that could have happened so long ago. And they are in a predictable spot in. That's part of the third discovery. They take off and it's beautiful to watch.
Because I think, you know, I know that you're the betrayal lady. That's Debbie. She's the betrayal lady. But to attach things in my life to that, when I was, you know, thinking about this, I don't think I would have put a lot of them in that category until I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
So when, what do you see a lot of just everything because you've been doing it so long?
Well, we see so much of just betrayal. So it's that shock, you know, it's that shock that tattoos itself on your body, your mind, your heart. It's that feeling of what it does to the, it shatters the self. That was actually the first discovery. Betrayal is a different type of trauma. You know, like for example, if you lose a loved one, you know, you grieve, you're sad, you mourn the loss, life will never be the same. You don't necessarily question the whole relationship. You don't question your ability to trust. You don't question your sanity. With betrayal, you do. So, I mean, the first discovery was that betrayal is a different type of trauma that needs a different way to heal. So people that come to us, they're realizing, you know, oh my gosh, I've been struggling with this. And I had no idea. It's a very different type of experience, or we have a lot of people who come into the PBT Institute with therapy trauma, the most well-meaning therapists and counselors, but all they're doing is, let's say, unpacking each time, unpacking, unpacking, and unpacking. And if anything glues you to that one spot and prevents you from moving completely through it, it's that all you're doing is unpacking. You feel heard, but that's pretty much all you get. You're also re-traumatized. You're revalidated, but that's kind of all, you know? Yeah. Or the most well-meaning counselors. You go to, let's say, couples counseling, and their whole, the intention is just to make it that, let's say, a couple is just kind of good or good enough. But what happens with betrayal is that doesn't really work, because when there's a complete and utter destruction of the old, you can birth something so new and beautiful. And that doesn't typically happen. If the only intention is, well, let's just sort of, you know, okay, compromise here, compromise there. The betrayed never truly feels validated, heard, understood. And the betrayer doesn't really understand the impact of what they've done. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that answered your question, but yes.
And yeah, I think
we have a lot of people like that come in.
You know, I think I have to relate to everything that I've been through. And, you know, I had lost my voice for a long time in a bad relationship, like bad relationships do. And there's this strong need to make sure that people understand how I'm feeling. You know, if I feel betrayed, I'm learning. Yes, I know we have to see it from both perspectives, but there's still this, no, you need to know why I feel betrayed. It's still a lot of times a validation. And it's only been, you know, the last couple of years where I'm like, I need to understand that. Not everybody else needs to understand that. And I think that was difficult for me. I started working, I started listening to something on shame one time. Well, mm-hmm. Well, every time I had been asked, well, are you ashamed? Like, or do you carry shame with this? Well, I would always go, well, no, not at all, because look at the job I do. Like, why? Mm-hmm. Like, I never want to go through it again, but I'm not ashamed of it. But that's because I was mm-hmm. missing the definition and the context that shame was used in. And since I have been looking a little more into betrayal, I'm like, I was missing that too. So
yeah.
So this is your thing. This is you probably talk about it all day long, every day. How does someone accept the fact that, oh, that was betrayal? Because it's hard to accept the fact that this person might have been unhealthy. We've talked mm-hmm. our way out of, oh, it wasn't that bad, or, you know, that's just how they are for so long. It takes a while to accept mm-hmm. that. So how does one accept the fact that this was absolutely betrayal?
Yeah. When you understand what betrayal is and what it does, and you see the impact on you, it gives you a sense of deep clarity and understanding. And it's almost like, you know, you can't unring a bell. Once you understand it, once you hear it, and then if you choose to, you know, live like that anyway, it's hard to do that. It's really hard to do that, because most people, they don't want to face something, because if you face something, you have to look at it. If you look at it, you have to make some decisions. If you make some decisions, it might create change. If it creates change, it's going to shake up everybody around you, right? So we do all we can so that we don't, you know, we don't have to look. But in doing so, we stay sick, sad, stuck, all the symptoms of post-betrayal syndrome, which is the second discovery, happy to go over that. And we stay stuck out of the five stages from betrayal to breakthrough. That was the third discovery. We stay in the most common place. We get stuck stage three. Like, everything you're talking about is stage three stuff. It's just what goes on.
Okay. So since you're mentioning the stages, talk mm-hmm. about them a little bit, and you can be as brief, or I don't care how long you talk. It's
okay
with me. So people can kind of follow it through, because I believe a lot of my listeners are going, well, this is what it feels like, but I don't know what it is. And if it doesn't fit the checklist exactly, mm-hmm. then they throw it out the window and they start looking for something else.
Yeah. Well, so that it fits the checklist, what I would love to do is share with you the symptoms of post-betrayal syndrome, because we've had over 95,000 people take our quiz to see to what extent they're struggling. And what's so interesting is, as I read these symptoms, I would invite everybody, not even just to be like, oh my gosh, I had that, like, count out of the symptoms I'm sharing, see how many of these you've had over the last couple of years. So now imagine, this is 95,000 people men, women, just about every country is represented. You don't even have to remember the symptoms. Just count them and let's see. Okay. Out of all of these, and pay attention to these numbers too, 78% constantly revisit their experience. So if that was you, give yourself a one. 81% feel a loss of personal power. 80% are hypervigilant. 94% deal with painful triggers. The most common physical symptoms, 71% have low energy. 68% have sleep issues. 63% have extreme fatigue. So you go to sleep all night, you wake up, you're exhausted. Your adrenals have tanked. 47% have weight changes. So in the beginning, maybe you can't hold food down. Later on, you're emotionally eating. You're using food for comfort. 45% have a digestive issue. And that could be anything. Crohn's, IBS, diverticulitis, constipation, diarrhea, you name it. The most common mental symptoms. 78% are overwhelmed, 70% walking around in a state of disbelief, 68% can't focus, 64% are in shock, 62% can't concentrate. So let's just stop there. You can't concentrate. You have a gut issue. You're exhausted. Now you have to go to work. Now you have to raise your kids, right? That's not even emotionally. Emotionally, 88% experience extreme sadness. 83% are very angry, and we can bounce back and forth between those two all day long. 82% are hurt. 80% have anxiety. 79% are stressed. Just a few more. Here's why I wrote the book Trust Again. 84% have an inability to trust. And that would just kill me. 67% prevent themselves from forming deep relationships because they're afraid of being hurt again. 82% find it hard to move forward. 90% want to move forward, but they don't know how. How many symptoms do you think, you know, like think about it, many people have?
A lot more than they would ever put together being caused by one thing, for sure.
And what's even crazier is, first of all, there's a, you know, we've all heard time heals all wounds. I have the proof that when it comes to betrayal, that's not true. There's a question on the quiz that says, is there anything else you'd like to share? And people write things like, my betrayal happened 35 years ago. I'm unwilling to trust. My betrayal happened 15 years ago. It feels like it happened yesterday. So we know we cannot count on time. We cannot count on a new relationship to heal it. Unless and until we intentionally and deliberately heal it, it will follow us around in every relationship, in our health, in our work. And I can share with you how that shows up. But here's just before we wrap up the stuff with the quiz. You didn't hear me say 20%, 30%. These numbers are super high. They're also not necessarily from a recent betrayal. So these numbers could be, this could, these symptoms could be from the parent who did something awful when you were a kid. The boyfriend or girlfriend who broke your heart in high school. So think about this. That person may not know, care, remember. They may not even be alive. And here we are, years, if not decades later, with these symptoms because of what happened years ago. And then what happens is we wind up medicating and suppressing the symptoms, where at the very root of it is the betrayal. We're medicating and suppressing everything that, every symptom that is stemming because of the betrayal, the weight issues, the gut issues, the sleep challenges, all of it. But meanwhile, when we heal from the betrayal, everything heals.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, I was a big, okay, good, I'm out of that. And it was a very, it was very betraying, my former relationship. Okay, good, I'm out of that, which means logically, everything should be good, you know, because that relationship showed up. And that, and so very, very early on, many, many years ago, I think I just kept myself very distracted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was busy. I was working all the time. I was just busy, busy, busy. And so then when things did start popping up, the frustration came in because, well, I was doing so well when I just didn't face what I needed to face as far as what you're saying is dealing with the betrayal from the inside out. Right.
Exactly.
Really quickly, before you move on, where can tell us where to find the quiz, and then I'll put it in the notes that, you know, in the description notes or in the show notes.
Sure. Everything is at the PBT, as in post betrayal transformation, thepbtinstitute.com. And that's the post-betrayal syndrome quiz. And we have another quiz as well, which tells you exactly what stage you're in. That was the third discovery. And for me, that was the most exciting. And what we learned was, while we can stay stuck for years, decades, a lifetime, and many people do, if we're going to fully heal, and by fully heal, I mean those symptoms of post-betrayal syndrome that I just shared, to this completely rebuilt place where you rebuild not just your life, but yourself too. You know, everything that was trashed in the betrayal. When you go from one of those extremes to the other, you're going to go through five proven, predictable stages. And what's even more exciting about that is we know what happens physically, mentally, and emotionally at every stage. And we know what it takes to move from one stage to the next. Healing is entirely predictable. Happy to share the stages if you want to hear them.
Yes, I'll hear whatever you feel. I mean, you know what my audience is. So, you know, whatever you feel will help them. Obviously, it's going to help me because, you know, I haven't heard a lot of this information either. So I'm excited. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
You will know exactly what stage you're in when I say it. And everybody listening, I invite you to, you know, take note of which stage you're in. You will know it when I say it. Okay.
I'm scared.
Yeah, don't be scared because there's a way to heal from all of it. So, I mean, this is all we do within the PBT Institute. It's what all of our coaches are certified in. Here's a sort of boiled down example. So stage one is actually before it happens. And if you can imagine four legs of a table, the four legs being physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, what I saw with everybody, me too, was a heavy lean on the physical and the mental, thinking and doing. We're so good at that. Right? Like what you were saying when you were getting, you know, when you were just busy and kind of neglecting or ignoring the emotional and the spiritual, feeling and being. Well, if the table only has two legs, it's easy for that table to topple over. That's us. Stage two, shock, trauma, D-Day, discovery day, by far the scariest of all of the stages. This is the day you get the news that creates a psychological earthquake, where now life is compartmentalized into before it happened and after it happened, right? Life will never be the same. Everybody remembers their D-Day. Right here, it's the breakdown of the body, the mind, and the worldview. You have just ignited the stress response. You're headed for every single stress-related symptom, illness, condition, disease. Your mind is in a complete state of chaos and overwhelm. You cannot wrap your mind around what you just learned. This makes no sense. And your worldview has just been shattered. Your worldview is your mental model, the rules that govern you, that prevent chaos. Don't go there. This is how life works, you know. And in one earth-shattering moment, every rule you've been holding to be real and true is no longer. The bottom has bottomed out on you, and a new bottom hasn't been formed yet. This is terrifying. But think about it. If the bottom were to bottom out on you, what would you do? You'd grab hold of anything or anyone in order to stay safe, right? And stay alive. That's stage three. Survival instincts emerge. It's the most practical out of all of the stages. If you can't help me, get out of my way. How do I survive this experience? Where do I go? Who can I trust? Here's the trap though. Stage three, by far, is the most common place we get stuck. And here's why. And I would imagine 90% of your clients are in this stage. Here's why. Once you've figured out how to survive your experience, because it feels so much better than the shock and trauma of where you just came from, we think it's good. We're like, okay, I got this. And because we don't know there's anywhere else to go, we don't know there's a stage four or stage five, transformation doesn't even begin until stage four. But because we don't know there's anywhere else to go, we plant roots here. We're not supposed to, but we don't know that. And four things happen. The first thing is we start getting all those small self benefits. You know, we get to be right. We like being right. We get our story. We get sympathy from everyone we tell our story to. We get someone to blame. We don't have to do the hard work of learning to trust again. Can I trust you? Should I trust you? You know what? I'm just not trusting anybody. So we plant deeper roots, right? And now, because we're here longer than we should be, well, the mind starts doing things like, you know, maybe you're not that great. Maybe you deserved it. Maybe this, maybe that. So we plant deeper roots again, because you're here longer than you should be. And now this is what you're thinking. Well, this is the energy you start putting out. Like energy attracts like energy. So now you're attracting people and circumstances and relationships to confirm, yep, This is where you belong. Like, here's where you're going to join that lame support group. And you will actually sabotage your healing because you found your people. Here's where you're healing and you're actually going to sabotage your healing because you're afraid of outgrowing your betrayer. You see? This is where we do all that stuff. It gets worse, but I'll get you out of here. Because it feels so bad, but we don't know that there's anywhere else to go, we start numbing, avoiding, distracting. We start using food, drugs, alcohol, work, keeping busy to numb, avoid, and distract ourselves from this place that stinks, right? So think about it. We do it for a day, a week, a month. You know, now it's a habit, a year, 10 years, 20 years. I can see someone 20 years out and say, you know, that emotional eating you're doing, that keeping busy at work thing you're doing, do you think that has anything to do with your betrayal? And they look at me like I'm crazy. They
would say that
20 years ago.
I love it. You know?
Do you see?
Right. Yeah.
Right. All they did was put themselves in stage three and stay there. Does that make sense?
Yep. Totally. And what you just said about the support group, you know, I have a support group online. You probably have them too. It is frustrating because you look into the support groups and you know how to help them, but you also know everybody's at a different stage. So you sit there, and where you just said you get into these support groups, you know, support groups online are groups that people have in common, right? And so if you're in there not really looking for support, but to vent or to find people who want to vent with you, you are absolutely going to stay stuck.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because the study proved we need support, but the right type of support. So we have in the PBT Institute, the right type of support that lifts and inspires. So in our groups, for example, someone's like doing something that helps them move to the next stage. And then other members are like, oh, how'd you do that? What happened? Go you. It's not about keeping you stuck. It's about how do you move to the next stage? Support's crucial, but the wrong support does more harm than good. We see that all the time.
You know, and you had said this earlier too. We can repeat nonstop. We could go to sessions or support groups for 12 years once a week and say the same thing and talk about it. But the forward motion is the only thing that's going to move you. And if you're stuck in stage three, you don't even know you need forward motion because you're stuck in there with all your friends.
Right.
You finally found people that understand. So this is my group, right?
Yeah. And it's interesting. You know, I certify a lot of coaches, only the best of the best work within PBT. But I just certified someone earlier this afternoon and I was explaining to her, she understands our methodology. And I said, it doesn't matter if you're moving someone 1 degree, 5 degrees, 10 degrees, you're only focus is how can I move this person closer to the next stage? Because they need to feel that by the time they're done with that session. Otherwise, they're just going to be stuck. And here's the thing. Stage three is an easy place to get stuck. And the longer we're there, the harder it is to leave. The more we start justifying that this is as good as it's going to get, we may as well find a way to be okay with it. Then we find all of our people. And now we have all the symptoms of post-betrayal syndrome. So we're so busy medicating and suppressing all of those, like that's the day, you know? So it's quicksand. It really is. And yeah, go ahead.
So I was just going to relate something to my listeners really quick that is just a little bit visual of what you're saying. When you make the decision, which takes forever, to leave a bad relationship, I left 6 times. That was the Lord making me do that so that I was accepting and non-judgmental of the people that I work with, because I get it, right? But when we decide to leave and then you make the move to maybe change your environment, so you get an apartment or you get your own house, or you find some place where you can have distance. Thinking that, okay, I'm first going to get the apartment, then I'm going to take the next step, then I'm going to take the next step. And your stage three is very much the same as somebody getting into an apartment out of, say, the toxic marriage environment. Maybe they haven't filed or they haven't separated, but it feels so much better in the apartment than it did when they were in that environment that, oh, there goes our momentum. And it doesn't, you don't realize that now you got to go through all the stages again Because all you really are is you have the same exact relationship. Now you just have two different places that you're living.
Well, that's why it's the perfect opportunity to heal and grow. Otherwise, I really want to get back to you. I want to go get you through stages 4 and 5, but then I want to share with you why people repeat betrayals and what happens there, because then you're stuck in stage 3 for life. Anyway, if you are willing to let go of the small self benefits, grieve, mourn the loss, a bunch of things you need to do, you move to stage 4. Stage 4 is finding and adjusting to a new normal. So here's where you acknowledge, I can't undo what happened, but I control what I do with it. Right there in that decision, you're turning down the stress response. You're not healing just yet, but you just stopped the massive damage you were creating in stages 2 and stage 3. And to your point, stage 4 feels like if you've ever moved to a new house, office, apartment, condo, whatever, all your stuff's not there. It's not quite cozy yet, but you're like, yeah, we can do this. We got this. And it's so interesting because think about this. If you were to move, you don't take everything with you. You don't take those things that don't represent the version of you you want to be in this new space. And what I found was if your friends weren't there for you, you don't take them with you. There's this one spot going from stage 3 to stage 4. You're done with them. That lame support group, you're done with it. That betrayer who's not changing, you're done. And so people ask me all the time, what the heck? I've had these friends, you know, for years. Is it me? Yes, it is. You're undergoing a transformation. And if they don't rise, they don't come. Very common.
Yes. And you know, the other thing I'm relating to, obviously we explain things different, but I'm doing some relation. People will go, well, I've already read everything there is about toxic people. And, you know, I don't use therapy words, but, you know, the narcissist, and I have all of the information and now I don't know what to do. That's the stage you're talking about. Okay. That means it's time to stop doing your research. That's, you know, it's kind of that transformation from where I'm stuck in validation to the next thing.
Yeah. You know, stage 3 is very action oriented, looking up the narcissist and looking up and understanding all of that stuff. Stage 4 is also very action oriented, but now it's action oriented around what do I need? Who do I want to become? So it's forward thinking instead of that backward thinking. Anyway, when you've settled into this space, you've made it mentally kind of home, you move into the 5th most beautiful stage. And this is healing, rebirth, and a new worldview. The body starts to heal. Self-love, self-care, you know, eating well, exercise. You couldn't do that earlier. You were surviving. You know, now you can. The mind is healing. You're making all kinds of new rules, new boundaries based on the road you just traveled. And you have a new worldview based on what you see so clearly now. And the 4 legs of that table, in the beginning, it was all about physical and mental. By this point, we're solidly grounded because we're focused on the emotional and the spiritual too. Those are the 5 stages.
I love that. I love that. That just got me really like excited just listening to that, because I can track so much of what I have been through. Plus, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going in my head through where my private clients are, and I'm, you know, I could very easily see the different stages. It's different stages of that. So once I love hearing about, you know, the work that you've done and the institute that you have, what do you do to propel someone to start the steps moving past betrayal? Because, you know, sometimes people are pretty adamant that if they've been doing the research, they got this. So, mm-hmm. you know, and I know, again, we don't judge, and we know people are on their own time frame, mm-hmm. but, you know, to get them to take that, oh, I thought I was on a cliff, but I was only on a curb type step. Mm-hmm. Is there one thing that usually when people can see this, that's when they feel the switch. What is this that?
Yeah. You're a different person when you're entering into stage 4 and stage 5, we see new levels of health. We see new relationships, either with the person who hurt you in a very different way or with someone new. We see new businesses like the PBT Institute. That was a stage 5 thing. You know, we see new passion projects. You don't have access to that earlier when you're stuck in your trauma. So it is so common. People look different because you've healed from a lot of those physical symptoms. Where you've had, you know, accelerated aging in stages 2 and 3, you get this like radiant look back when you're in stage 5. You're just a different person because you've deliberately and intentionally rebuilt yourself. You take all the parts you love and you leave behind everything that no longer serves. You know, and you create a version of yourself that never would have had the opportunity to be created had that not happened. And just to close the loop on my story, you know, rebuilding is always a choice. Whether you rebuild yourself and become someone new and move along, that's what I did with my family. It just wasn't an option to rebuild with them. Or if the situation lends itself, if you're willing, if you want to, you rebuild something from the ground up new with the person who hurt you. And that's what I do with my husband. So not long ago, as to completely transform people, we married each other again. New rings.
Oh, you did?
New vows, okay. New dress.
Yep. I love that because I've heard, you know, you do hear stories like that. And it's, I mean, they're usually portrayed as a story of forgiveness, but you know that in order to get to the forgiveness part, if that's what it is, all of this had to happen in the background somewhere, you know, as far
yeah,
as the
I'll
healing,
tell you.
Both of you knowing and accepting.
Yeah. I've been through death of a loved one. I've been through disease. Nothing was as hard for me as this, you know, but so many people are so afraid of the death and destruction of the old. So they just try patching it. It doesn't work. You know, the only way you can have something completely new is when you build something completely new. I mean, after that betrayal, like I was done. That was it. I was like, okay, I didn't count on this, but I'm just healing. And I had no idea what his intentions were. It wasn't for me to figure out. That was the deal breaker.
You can't control or help it.
Yeah.
So here's my last question, and mm-hmm. you can still continue to talk as much as you want, but you know, post-trauma likes to sneak up on you mm-hmm. at the most inconvenient times.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, me just even learning more about betrayal here today, listening to you describe it, you know, when I don't know that there's ever, and maybe you can answer this. Is there ever going to be a time in your life where there's no post-trauma, there's no post-betrayal, where you catch yourself sliding back just a little bit, even if you catch it and move forward? Is there ever a time where it's just gone and never resurfaces?
You know, I think it's something, it loses the emotional charge. Like the same triggers don't take you down the way they used to. They don't have the same reaction, the same response. You don't respond to things the same way. You're so much stronger and wiser and better. And even if you are betrayed again, let's say a whole different experience, you move through the stages so much more quickly. Although I have to tell you, when someone has repeat betrayals, that's a clear sign of an unhealed betrayal.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, anger, and here I am again, and pity parties on why do I have to do this again, and how, you know, that kind of thing. But I know that a lot of the post-trauma, it's, some people think you can heal 100%. Some people think it's a constant effort mm-hmm. because of that, and some people think you're never going to do it. And so I just was wanting to pick your brain on that perspective.
Yeah, it depends how much healing work has been done. That's really, I don't think you ever forget, but you who you've become is just so much better than sitting with that pain and trauma, that it's almost like you know how to manage that trigger, you know how to do that. Life is so much better. Why would you spend time there? You know, an easy way to imagine this is, like, let's say there are two best friends, and they're both like 30 pounds overweight. And then one friend decides, you know, I'm so done with this. You know, they both look good, right? But they're, one of them is just done. So she decides, I'm on this health journey, and loses the weight. And she says to her other friend, you know, her friend, she's like, it feels so good here. Let me help you. And she's like, and the other one's like, no, I'm okay. I'm all right. Right. And she's like, I know what you're feeling right there. I've been there, but I know how good this feels. And I want you to experience it too. Most people stuck in stage three, if they knew for a second what stage four and five felt like, they wouldn't waste another minute in stage three.
Of course, then sometimes the, oh, but that's too hard work comes in. I just am going to choose to stay in stage three, because for me to lose 30 pounds like you did, it's going to be work. And then you're still not ready to leave stage three. That can cause resentment too. Oh,
of course.
You're going to go and lose 30 pounds
yeah.
and you know,
And I'll tell you, there's a saying, I've been coaching for 32 years. There's a saying, you can apply it to any topic and it fits. Ready? And people, I invite your audience to write this down. That's my way of saying write this down.
Right.
Hard now, easy later. Easy now, hard later. Take your pick. It's one of those two. When it comes to really healing from betrayal, it's a full-on reckoning. It's hard now, easy later, because you're becoming someone new. In the case you just described, that's easy now. I don't want to make those changes. Hard now, well, problem's still there. But people say, and I get this all the time, what do you mean easy? Life sucks. I'm having such a hard time. I'm struggling with all these symptoms. Yes, but easy in that you're not willing to change how you think, how you act, what you do, how you move through this. So the easy is in your resistance to doing something different. Hard later, nothing's really changing.
Right.
See?
And easy is the path of least resistance. Water's always going to take the way it's easiest. You have to block it before it's going to go a different direction. Yeah, this is such good stuff. First of all, if there's anything else that you want to add, because I'm forgetting that I'm interviewing you. I'm literally soaking everything up. So if there's anything else you want to add, and then I'll let the listeners know where they can find you.
I just want to say, listen, I've been there. I know how painful it is. And I also know how good it feels to move through all of it. There's a roadmap. You don't have to do this alone. You don't have to wing it. You just need to move through the proven research-based predictable way to move through all of it and become this version of you that is so strong and empowered and happy. And that version of you is waiting in stage five. So I didn't do anything anybody else couldn't do. And everything is at the PBT, as in post-betrayal transformation, the PBTinstitute.com.
Perfect. Well, and I'll have her links in the show notes, and you guys have plenty of different ways to get a hold of me, and I know how to get a hold of her, so I can get you that information. But thank you so much for being here, and thank you for waiting for me. And I'm sure that I will be in touch with you very soon on I literally could ask you a question every day, I think. So I'd be appreciative. But again,
Thank you.
thank you for being here.
Thank you.